Matthew chapter 11, just not a real long sermon tonight, just something I hope it'll be a blessing to you, something in my devotions this week that really jumped out at me and the Lord wanted me to bring to you. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. We're going to read 28, 29, and 30 together. So if you've got your Bibles out, Matthew chapter number 20, chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. All right, so let's go ahead and read that together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in this actual chapter, in the context, Christ has been dealing with the kingdom. And he's about to make a subtle change as he opens up the invitation to all people, all humanity worldwide. You know, Christ came to his own, and his own received him not, in John chapter 1 and verse 11. But now, in this little subtle change in Matthew chapter number 11, the invitation is going out to whosoever. This is one of many of the invitations Christ makes to whosoever, and this is something we can claim tonight. Christianity is a paradoxical truth. We elevate by bowing. We advance by kneeling. We are exalted through humility, and we are strengthened in our absolute weakness, and we live and are alive to the fullest by dying absolutely. The point of tonight's message, if you get nothing else, is victory through submission to Christ. It's victory and submission. Nobody likes to submit. None of us do. We used to wrestle as kids. Anybody else wrestle as kids? We didn't wrestle. That's with those spandex things in the head. No, we just wrestle. We'd get to wrestling and we'd try to put each other to where we'd tap out. You know what that means? To go, okay, I'm done. Stop. That hurts, you know, and to tap out. And of course, you weren't allowed to tap out until we made you eat grass. That's just the way we do it. We get to wrestling, we grab a piece of some grass and shove it in your face. We used to spit in their mouth. That's kind of gross. But if you could spit in their mouth, well, then, hey, you that was submission, buddy. That really was. You had them down. And so you think, well, that's just terrible. That's boys. Amen. That's the way they are. But the goal was to get someone to submit. Nobody wants to submit. We'll almost let them rip our arm out of socket not to have to submit. And the truth is, you and I have been taken by con artists and scam artists enough times. We don't like it. We don't like to be taken. We don't like to be duped. And submission is right up there with it. Submitting to somebody that doesn't love you, that doesn't care about you, that doesn't want what's best for you. I mean, we don't even like to do it with doctors, right? Right? I remember back when my mama was alive and she'd gone to the doctor. She was like 86, 87, and she went to the doctor, and I said, Mama, what did the doctor say? And the doctor, of course, Dr. Lukancic, which was her age, retired. All right? And then died. I mean, she outlived her doctor. The guy who delivered me and delivered my brother and delivered my other brother, you know what I'm saying? So it's got this young guy. Took over his practice. And I go, Mom, what did Doc say? And she goes, oh, those doctors don't know nothing. That's just what she'd say, right? We don't even like to submit to doctors. But Jesus is telling us that we can have victory. Victory through submission. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In this parable, we see an offer that God is making. In verse number 28, he is making an offer. We see the person of salvation. Come unto me. The invitation of God is open to all, but we must choose to come unto him. His arms are open. I had this policy when I was a sales manager. The door's open. Door's always open. If I'm not on the phone, you just walk right in. We'll talk. I'm here to help you. And the invitation of God, but you and I have to choose. And you understand when you're dealing with people that are employees or maybe with children and they're hiding from you, they're ducking from you, they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to sit down and have a conversation. Something's up. Something's up at that point. Something's up. And you and I, it's a fool's errand to try to duck God, to try to hide from him, to try to stay away from him and try not to talk to him, because the invitation is open. And he says, and all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, what I love about that phrase is the fact that God knows what it's like to be us. Now, I know my wife reminds me that I say the same things over and over and over again, but I'm still enamored with the fact that God knows what it's like to be me. He knows what it's like. It gives me the free, I know it's probably not a correct English word, but it gives me the freeness to go to God and say, God, you know what it's like. God, you know what I'm feeling like right now. God, you know I'm tired. You know I'm this or that, or you know I feel cheated, or you know how I feel, Lord. And God is not so aloof that he can't relate. You know, imagine, you know, sitting down with somebody like Elon Musk and him trying to explain to you the struggles he's having. Do you understand that, right? The man could probably buy Disney. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Can you sit down and have some Saudi sheik try to explain to you his problems? You know, it's hard for us to relate, you know? It's probably hard for them to relate to us. But God knows what it's like to be us. Come unto me, all ye that labor. He knows what it's like to do a hard day's work. He knows what it's like. I have the scars on my hands and my back, top of my head and other places where I've had to get under a house or in an attic. I lost a piece of hide up there, Brother Mike. It's still probably up there in the air conditioning spot. I have a permanent crease, Miss Debbie, right here where I took a piece of hide. Hey, I know what it's like to do a hard day's work, and so does the Lord. But you know, sin is a terrible taskmaster. This first command, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, this typifies salvation. He is opening it up to whoever. Come. He didn't say, come you Jews, come you Pharisees, come you Sadducees, come you Essenes, come you commoners. No, he said it's open to everyone. And in this, we not only see the offer of salvation, we see the problem of salvation. Verse 28, labor and are heavy laden. You know, human effort is pointless when it comes to our to salvation. We don't work our way to heaven. We can wear ourselves out trying to satisfy our own ideas of what we think God expects. But God just says, come unto me. Come unto me. There was a man, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not saying we shouldn't go out and labor for the Lord. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying sometimes we think it all hinges upon us. And it doesn't. Now, we need to serve like it hinges on us, but we need to pray because we know it hinges on God. Ron Woodruff was a man in my church. He was 85 years old, and Brother Ron would make a sack lunch and grab a six-pack of bottled water and a stack of tracks on Sunday. And he'd make him a lunch and get some water, and he'd go grab a city bus in Jacksonville, Arkansas, and ride that thing all day, handing out tracks, talking to whoever would get on that bus and let him engage him. And I'd say, how'd you do this week, Brother Ronnie? He'd say, I don't know, Brother Mix, but a feeble attempt's better than no attempt. And that's what he'd say, you know? But we can wear ourselves out, and I have, trying to fulfill some man-made or John-made expectation of what I think God wants. But it wasn't what God wanted at all. Sin is a terrible taskmaster. Sin is a terrible load to carry. Take your Bibles and run to Romans 6 real quick. Romans 6. Romans 6. And verse number 20. Look what it says. For when ye were the servants of sin. You know, I think of that. I think back. It wasn't that. You know, I know it's been 30 plus years since I got saved, but I do remember what it was like to be lost. To be the servant of sin, you were free from righteousness. The righteousness had a hold on you. Righteousness had no allurement to you. Righteousness really was a waste of time or a waste of effort. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? I don't look back on those as the good old days. Those were the bad old days. One of the things I can brag on my wife, one of the things I love about my wife is she doesn't pine for the good old days. She doesn't pine for our life back yonder. There was nothing, the only thing good about it was her and the Lord, you know. And so when I think of the time of sin before I was saved, you know, what fruit had it in our lives? Nothing of any value. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. You know, sin is a terrible load to carry. It's a terrible taskmaster to serve. And that is why repentance and confession and forsaking it is what truly frees us. Look at verse number 28 back in Matthew again. We see the promise of the salvation. He says in here, he says, first we had the offer of salvation, which was come. The problem of salvation is we try to labor when it's really of God's work and our submission. Then he says the promise of salvation is, look at that, verse 28, I will give you rest. Here is the compensation for our willingness to come to him. He is saying, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you rest. We see the grace in salvation in this word. He says, I'll give it to you. To give to somebody is not, look, McDonald's doesn't give you food. They sell you food. Dominion Power doesn't give you electricity. They sell you electricity. So when God says, I'll give it to you, there's no strings attached. There's no money involved. There is nothing. It's unmerited like grace. It's free. Only God can give it. Now, the first word here when he uses, I'll give you rest, he's talking about us having peace with God. That is for sure. You are at peace with God positionally as well as by the blood of Christ. You are now in his family. You are at peace with him. You have a blood-bought relationship with God. You have peace with God. But the second use of rest here in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That typifies the peace of God. The fact that I have the peace of God. I know he's in control. I know he's the one in charge. He is the one calling the shots. I remember mentioning this as an illustration earlier on in the year when I talked about, you know, it's not your call. God didn't choose those. God chose those things. You didn't. So as long as we're obedient, then God is the one who chooses the outcome. We are not responsible for the outcome. We are just responsible to choose to obey. That's it. It's not my call whether they get saved or not. It's not my call whether they submit to God or not. I'm just to be faithful, to be obedient. But I want you to see that God's promises to you and I, whatever they are, is God's will for us. God's stated promises. The things he wants you to have. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. This is an if-then proposition. If you'll come to me, I will give you rest. You'll get rest. So God's promises, his stated promises, is his will for you. He wants you to have rest. Not only peace with him, but the peace of him. Now, we see the command here in the parable in verse number 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, this is what do you call it? Volitional. You have to choose. Now, the source of the command is Jesus, the one who loved us before we loved him, 1 John 4:19. All right? This is the one who's saying, he's making this command, the one who gave himself for us, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He gave himself that he might bring us to God. This is the person commanding us, I want you to have rest. The service in the command is the yoke, that which oxen wore to harness them. Brother Phil's got a picture for us. A yoke is a piece of wood that you put across two animals. And you're going to, you all know, listen, you are all professionals, so you've all heard of synergy. You've all heard of this. You've probably seen it on a picture somewhere in your office, a successory. You know what a successory is? Those are picture framed art that has a saying that's supposed to motivate you. You know what I'm saying? right? It's hard to fly with the eagles when you run with the turkeys. That was one of my favorite. No, I'm just kidding. But you've probably seen the idea of synergy. Synergy actually works. You take one cow pull so many thousand, you know, like 2 tons, and another cow can pull, you know, 2.5 or 3, but together, instead of them pulling 5 to 6, they can pull 10. The combined effort of the two of you outpaces the sum of the equal parts. That's synergy. And God wants us to take his yoke. He wants to be on this side, and he wants us to willingly put our head in his yoke. Now, that's why the Bible says, you've heard that in 2 Corinthians 6:14, you're not to be unequally yoked. You can't put a mule and a cow or mule and an ox together. They will just, they don't pull the same. You can't put a horse and a mule. You can't pull a horse and a donkey. You can't pull a horse and an ox. They won't pull the same. And you dead sure can't put a Shetland pony and a quarter horse together. They just don't pull the same. All right? They won't do it. They're not the same kind of animal. But now, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, I want you to see something interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. I want you to read this verse out loud with me. Everybody needs to find it. 1 Corinthians 3. Phil, I'm off script and I'm freestyling. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Look what it says here. Read it with me. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Look at that first phrase again. For we are laborers together with God. The other person in the yoke with you is God himself. We are co-laborers together. We are working together. I don't understand. I told you this morning. I said it in Sunday school as well. I don't know why God has chosen to limit himself to you and I, but he has done it. Now, I'm assuming it's because the angels don't know what salvation truly is, and other people can relate to people. People relate to people better than they relate to deities. So he chooses us, but we are actually partnered, yoked up with God. He wants to do the work with us. Now that's a powerful thought. If the synergy between two equal-sized animals is 1.5 to 2 times what the sum of the parts are, can imagine what the synergy between you and God can actually accomplish. Yes, we went out yesterday and we handed out flyers. Yes, we did. Praise the Lord for your faithfulness. But we also co-labored together in prayer. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Is it just because we use these really cool graphics that people walk through the door? Well, they help a little, but the truth is it's what God does with it. Not necessarily what I do with it, but what does God do with it? And when you pray, you are invoking God. You're sticking your head in the yoke and saying, okay, God, I'll pull with you. I'll pull with you rather than trying to do it. Because listen, God will let you pull that plow by yourself. Pastors are the worst person to do this. Us pastors are bad about this. We'll pull that thing like a dog sled, thinking we're just really making hay for the Lord until we just run out of gas. And the reason is God's like, okay, you want to do it? Good. I'm here to help, but you go ahead. And most pastors this way, why do pastors burn out? Because they're trying to pull the sled without God. I've done it multiple times. And my wife has had to pull me aside and say, you need to take a break. You know, and God wants you to stop for a second, put on his yoke, and pull with him. Now, if you got a horse that's trying to jump ahead of the other one, it's hard to pull straight. And sometimes we try to get ahead of God, even though we're doing the work with him. We're trying to get ahead of him. We're trying to rush ahead. And God's like, wait a minute, walk at my pace. We're the Shetland pony. He's the Clydesdale. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? So we really got to go at his pace, not ours. But it's the service here is to take the yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. First, you have to submit in service. The yoke controls the animal. And Christ's yoke is submission. It's our submitting to his control. So we have to take it. We have to be the one who willingly puts our head in the yoke. We have to decide it. And Christ's yoke is our submission to him, not only as a co-laborer, but as our ruler and as our boss. And we are to submit to that service which he has chosen for us. I want you to understand, wherever God takes you in this world, he will put you in a part of his vineyard where he expects you to yoke up with him and plow. He expects you to serve in that part of the kingdom, that part of the vineyard. But it's called yielding. Do you know what yielding means? Nobody in Fairfax County seems to know what that red sign means, but do you understand what I mean? You're supposed to come to a complete stop at a red light before turning right. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, I confess my sin. I need to get right. We're to yield right of way, and God, in the other side of the yoke, has right of way. He is the one who sets the pace. He sets the direction. Take your Bible, go back to Romans chapter 6, please, and verse number 12, Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Knowing this, that our old man, now am I in the right verse here? Chapter 6 and verse 12. There we go. Let not sin therefore reign. Be the boss, be in charge, be the king. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. Amen. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not, now this is the important part I want you to see, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. Whoever you're obeying, you're the servant of. With his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, if you are obeying your fleshly desires more so than what God would have, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You took your head out of the yoke of sin and pulled it and put it into the yoke of God. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I'm trying to make it understandable is what he's saying. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, just as you've given yourself over to fulfill the lusts of your flesh, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, that means the sin that was in your heart came out your hands, your feet, and your mouth. Even so now, yield your members, servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Look at verse number 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Do you see that? Matthew Henry said, Christ has a yoke for our neck and a crown for our head. We cannot have the crown for our head if we will not wear the yoke for our neck. You cannot have one without the other. And that, I'm just going to go out there on a limb and say it, that is what is so sickening about a lot of the modern day Christianity. They want the crown, but they don't want the yoke. They want the blessing, but they don't want the service. They want the favor, but they don't want the responsibility. Brothers and sisters, we've had a wonderful day. Just a wonderful day because of your faithfulness and your prayers. But we're not going to keep all the visitors we get. We never have. And the truth is, some are not looking for the opportunity to serve. They're looking for a place to receive and leave. And that is not who we are. Not that I'm going to run them off. I don't have to. They're just not going to be comfortable in a place where the Word of God stirs your heart and tells you, you ought to be serving. And the truth is, we're not a place where you just come and get your praise on and go home. We're just not. That's not true Christianity. You cannot slide on the yoke of Christ and then say, go ahead, Lord, pull. We'll just kind of watch, kind of skate along. Let God pull you on like you got wheels instead of hoofs. That's not how it works. We walk along with him. We pull along with him. It reminds me of Matthew 6:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him say no to his fleshly desires, his agenda, his plan, and take up his cross, that which we're to die to, that which we would die on, and follow me. Follow in my footsteps. Follow me. Again, back in Matthew chapter 11, we see the promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take it. Then it says, learn of me. Learn of me. I want you to think about that for a second. Christ is the teacher, and Christ is the subject matter. Learn of me. You know, if you're strapped to Christ, if you're close and you're yoked up, you're going to learn how he does things and how he moves and how he pauses. You're not always going to want to pause when he pauses, but you need to learn how he moves. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Listen to the burden in this. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. I love this. It says, my burden is easy and light. Look at that. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So many people think that if they were to truly just give themselves over to God, they would be carrying a burden like a donkey all day. Oh, we've got all these rules we have to follow. And my answer to that is you really don't know what Christianity is at all, do you? You really don't. And that just kind of throws them for a loop because they don't know how to, I was raised in church. They blow up like a bullfrog. No, you honestly don't know what it says. You honestly don't know what it says. Because the burden, the weight of God's yoke is easy. And the burden he's asking you to carry is light. So if you're not carrying the heavy side, who is? If your head's not in God's yoke, you're carrying it. You're carrying burdens that you were not built for. You ever see these we call them escape pods, those little Fiat 500s that would fit in the back of my Expedition? They're really just escape pods. Have you ever seen one with a bumper hitch? I have, and I think to myself, did you just get, you got one of those American Tourister bags and you just kind of get the arm flipped down on it and drag it to the airport. That's about all it'll haul. You know? I understand. I have a trailer. When I fully load that thing down, the front end of that truck will point to the sky. It just ain't quite heavy enough. And that's how people live. They live with the burden of sin. But then even Christians, maybe you've got a lot of that stuff under control and you've taken it out of your life, but you're still carrying the burden and the care of it all. And you're just, you're wearing yourself out because you weren't meant to carry that. But if your head's not in the yoke, you're carrying it. But if your head's in the yoke, it's God who wants to carry it, but you still got to give it to him. And that only happens when you walk in step with him. For my yoke is easy. He said, learn of me. If you'll walk with him. That's what he's saying. Go ahead and yoke up with me every day. Every day, get up, put your head in the yoke. Every day, say, Lord, I'm with you. Let's walk together. Every day, God, I want to be in step with you. Every day, God, I'm going to let you decide the direction we go. I'm going to let you decide the pace that we go. Today, God, I'm going to give myself anew and afresh, and I'm just going to walk with you. And Holy Spirit, you've got the reins. I want you to pull right or left. I want you to impulse me to speak to someone or to turn or to stop or to go faster. Or I need you to be in charge of that. That's what he's saying here. Because the burden is easy. The yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And today, if you're feeling the weight of this world on your shoulders, you're carrying something that you weren't intended. Remember, it says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He'll let you carry it until you realize you can't anymore. And only then are we willing. You know, they say doctors make the worst patients. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But I play one. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I mean, they say, I used to play one on TV. But no, they say they're the worst the patients. Why? Because they know what needs to be done. They know how it needs to be done. They want to do it right now. Do it my way. And those of you that are nurses or work in the medical field, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, ah. But the truth is, we a lot of times are the worst patients because we don't have any patience. We want it now. We want it the way we want it. And we're expecting God. But God's like, no, you don't know me. That's why you're having this struggle. Look at that phrase again. What do you think it means when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? I want you to learn me. I want you to know me. I want you to know me and know how I am. I am meek. Meek is not weak. Meek means that I have, God has, God who's the only one who is, I want to say, has the right to have any pride, which he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't have, he's the only one that has, none of us have right to have pride, but he has all of that under control. And he's lowly in heart. You ever heard the phrase, wisdom is justified of her children? That's in the Bible. Wisdom is justified of her children. What does that mean? It means that the truth will be bore out. The truth of anything, any situation, will be bore out over time. And you're going to find that you carrying the yoke on your half, doing it your way, is going to become grievous and heavy and unbearable. But if you trust the Lord, learn him. Willingly take on his yoke. You're going to find out there's rest. Rest, peace with God, the peace of God, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And tonight, maybe we need to take a time and just offload some of these burdens and cares to him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. As Phil cues up some music, I want you to have an invitation. You know, God has been so good to us. We have so much to praise him for today. Maybe we just need to take a moment and praise the Lord as individuals and families. But tomorrow starts a new day. Many of you probably are dreading what you're going to have to face tomorrow. The pile of work, the deadlines, the people who are unwilling to be cooperative or helpful. And you dread it. That's a burden God will carry. If you'll let him, if you'll cast it upon him. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are thankful that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I'm thankful, Father, that you've opened this opportunity to us, that we might have rest for our souls, that we might know you, learn you. And Father, the exciting thing to me is that what you'll actually accomplish when we walk together. And tonight, God, we ask that you would do just that, that you would perfect your will in our life as we yoke up with you and let you set the pace and the direction and you set the burden. And Father, tonight, whatever cares or burdens are being carried by my brothers and sisters, Father, we give them to you. And Father, we seek the reception of your rest that you've promised us because we know that's your will for us. And tonight we'll have victory as we submit to you. So during our prayer time now, if Holy Spirit speak to us and we will respond in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music begins to play, the altar's open or you can pray where you are. Take some time and praise God. Then take some time and let the Holy Spirit have whatever burden is got you down, weighing you tonight. imagine what God could do if we just yoke up with Him. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for the promises You make us. Thank You, God, that these promises are Your will for us. And that submission, we are victorious over this life and over these trials. But Father, only as we yoke up with You. So tonight, God, let us remember this truth. And each morning this week, we'll just give ourselves to You. And Father, we ask that You would show us what You can do. Father, please, stir us, move us. Give us the impulse, Holy Spirit, to whether to turn right or left or to go forward or to pause. Be in control. And we are excited to see what You accomplish. Bless us now as we fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.